You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
October the 17th of 2024. Temperature up to 40 degrees under sunny skies in downtown Wausau. Live from our Bow Falls Radio 98.9 WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll hear a conversation with the head football coach of D.C. Everest High School, Braden Mitchell, first-year head coach of the Evergreens, and they are having a terrific campaign, 6-2 overall, 5-0 in the conference. They play their final regular season game this evening, a special Thursday night game over at Carson Park in Eau Claire against Eau Claire Memorial. We'll talk about the big double overtime win over Stevens Point last week and look towards the playoffs as well for the D.C. Everest Evergreen football team. That's coming up at 9:21 this morning on the program. Also coming up, we will have our daily history lesson at the end of the program, our last segment of the show. And we will be talking about some of the famous events that occur on this date in history. We'll be looking at some of the celebrity birthdays. We'll talk about some of the special events being acknowledged. And, of course, we will wrap things up with our number for the day and our number for the day quiz. And we put the spotlight during those moments on our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
This week, you are 1 out of 3 so far when it comes to the number for the day quiz.
But I can do better.
Yes, you can. And the thing about it is, there's a lot on the line. Last
yes,
week, you did not pass last week.
No. Last week was the worst week I ever had, because that was the week where I got nothing right.
Well, you got one right, but that's not enough. You got to get at least one more right in order to have
a
passing
week. I didn't get any right.
Right, but I mean, this week you may have one right, but you're still not in a passing situation. You have to get at least one more right to
right
pass.
Right now I'm at a D minus. I got to get up to a B plus.
Well, that's exactly right. So we're going to do our number for the day quiz coming up at the end of the program. Do you recall... Oh, yeah, actually, I haven't even told you yet.
You haven't told me yet.
I haven't told you yet. Do you want to know what the topic will be, the subject matter for today?
Yes, today's? I do. Yes.
Yep. So, okay.
I got to get the mental muscles moving.
So our number for the day topic will be candy corn.
Oh, I love candy corn.
So we're going to have that be our topic. So if you love it, you better get it right. So we're going to talk some candy corn.
I know there's quite a few people who actually... don't like candy corn. They don't like the taste of it.
I don't know if I've had candy corn. What is candy corn, actually?
Well, candy corn is it's a piece of candy. It's about, let's say, pretty tiny, but it's in the shape of a triangle. It's got three different colors on it. It's usually a white, a yellow, and orange. It's got like three distinct color patterns, and it kind of has I'm trying to describe the taste, but it's very sweet and It's kind of hard to describe without actually, you know, having one with me I could taste right now. But it is very sweet and a very good candy.
Very good. So we'll talk some candy corn for our number for the day coming up. Also wanted to mention, we, of course, have been involved with the Extra Innings group with their wonderful work in terms of raising money to help families, folks here in central Wisconsin in their battle against cancer. And they had a great event last month. And right now they have another fundraiser that will be happening. It'll be with the Red Robin Restaurant, and I'm very happy to talk about this because Red Robin is also one of our sponsors for our high school football coverage with the Wausau West Warriors and the Newman Cardinals.
Great restaurant, too.
Yep, so we love to have folks go by and stop by at Red Robin, and we do appreciate their support of our high school sports broadcast. But Extra Innings is teaming up with Red Robin to give 20% of food sales back to Extra Innings coming up on October the 21st. So that is on Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
21st, yep. Is a Monday, yes.
So Monday, the 21st. 20% of the Red Robin food sales will go back to Extra Innings. And again, Red Robin is on Rib Mountain Drive in Wausau. And basically, we're going to put out on our Bull Falls Radio, I should say our 98.9 WXCO Facebook page, the flyer that has all the information about this fundraiser with Extra Innings and Red Robin on Monday. But basically, you just have to mention the fundraiser to your server to have the sales counted. So again, don't just go in on Monday to Red Robin, but actually say, hey, we're here for the fundraiser with Extra Innings, and that way Extra Innings will get 20% of that that sale that you have with Red Robin. So, again, take a look at our 98.9 WXCO Facebook page. We're going to get that up, coming up very, very soon, and make sure to plan on at least one, maybe even multiple of your meals to go to Red Robin on Monday. And what Ted Harkey does with Extra Innings is just fantastic. And again, we talk about these different fundraisers and these different organizations that are involved. And of course, I mentioned earlier that tonight I'll be over at Wausau East for the Pink Ribbon volleyball match between Wausau West and Wausau East, and they're raising money to find a cure for breast cancer. Ted and Extra Innings does things a little bit differently. They raise this money in order to help the families currently in the battle. And yes, there's so many wonderful groups that are out there raising money and researching and hoping to eradicate some of these cancers, but then you have the folks who are in the midst of the battle. And Ted would tell the stories of some of the money being raised and then allowing a child to go to this wonderful camp over in the Eau Claire area and to be able to spend some time having fun instead of having to go and always be worried about the next chemotherapy treatment or just battling through the cancer, but to be able to be a kid and go over there and have a great time, or to have some money that goes towards some of these folks who are battling to do something special or to help in some sort of way for supplies. I mean, because there's so many costs involved. So again, what Ted Harkey does with Extra Innings is so very special, and this is an easy way to help, an easy way to be able to add a little to the till that Ted is able to use to spread the love and spread the joy and spread the help to people here in our area, here in North Central Wisconsin, that are in the fight for cancer, whether a child, whether an adult, everybody. And what Ted does, he's just so very energetic about it. He has such a passion for it. And again, on Monday, go to Red Robin Restaurant on Rib Mountain Drive. Mention to your server that this is a fundraiser, that they want to be part of the fundraiser with Red Robin and Extra Innings, and then 20% of the sale will go to Extra Innings. So, again, we'll put this posted on our 98.9 WXCO Facebook page coming up in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And you just love to hear about that. Again, we talk so often about some of the stories that are not fun to talk about. Yeah. So much about people who are, and again, I'm not to be taken in a negative direction, but we talked about what people like the Elon family and Elon Musk does with their wealth I mean, wealth that is incomprehensible to you and I. I mean, it is incomprehensible to think about $6 billion. And then to have an opportunity to use that money to find a cure for cancer, to help that, or to give folks.
To help with climate change.
Or just so many people that could be helped in some way.
Or help with the victims of the hurricane.
Exactly.
Like, give your money to the people who are actually struggling right now.
And to give it to a third-party political operation that puts out sleazy commercials. It just makes you upset. It makes me upset. And then you have somebody like Ted Harkey, who goes around all the time running himself to the, you know, to exhaustion and building this organization from the ground up.
Yeah.
Who just uses his energy and tries to get people to spend just a little bit of their money to help somebody that is battling cancer.
He's the definition of a good Samaritan.
There you go. That's exactly right. So
somebody who helps people not because he needs to, because he wants to.
So we better see you over at Red Robin on Monday. Mm-hmm. grab a meal at Red Robin and make sure to mention that it's for extra innings. Because again,
I could talk to my family about going out to dinner on Monday.
And then make sure they say, hey, this is for the extra innings fundraiser.
Absolutely.
And everybody out there, do that. One of the meals or two of the meals on Monday. Go there and do it, because it's...
Every little bit helps.
It is. And again, I just... We want to see people do good things. We want to see folks that are able to do good things. We want to see our elected officials do good things. It really is important. And we want to see the folks in front of microphones like us try to do good things and spread the word about good things. So, again, I'm really happy to be able to talk about that fundraiser at Red Robin Restaurant for Extra Innings coming up on Monday. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little high school football. And again, it's that time of year. We're heading to the final weekend of the regular season. The excitement of the playoffs begins next week. And a team that's looking to clinch a outright conference championship tonight is the D.C. Everest Evergreens. D.C. Everest at Eau Claire Memorial. A win for Everest clinches the conference championship all by themselves. So we'll talk to Braden Mitchell, the head football coach at D.C. Everest, coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO. Chat Home Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, week number 9 of the high school football season gets underway for some teams tonight, and then most of the teams play tomorrow. Tonight, D.C. Everest is at Eau Claire Memorial. Evergreens, with a win, clinch outright the Wisconsin Valley Conference, Big Rivers Conference East Championship. They are 6-2 overall, 5-0 in the league. And last night on the Big High School Sports Show here on WXCO, Jason Foster and myself had an opportunity to talk to Evergreen head coach Braden Mitchell. And we started off by talking about last week's incredible double overtime win over Stevens Point. And I started by saying, well, what was it like at Steam Stadium during that thriller against the Panthers?
Oh, it was unbelievable. The crowd has been amazing all year. And I think with every game and the success that we've had, it just keeps building bigger and bigger. And that community supports us like crazy. So it's super awesome, great atmosphere. And then, yeah, I think we put on quite a show for them.
Yeah, I think that I know you're fairly new to the conference. You were at Spash for a little bit and now at Everest, but fairly just new to the area in general. Yeah. So coming to a place like D.C. Everest that has such incredible tradition, Spash has really good football tradition. You know about that from your time there. what is it? What do you think it means to the conference for those two programs to kind of be not only back at the top to be, but to be playing in a game like that late in the season for a conference championship?
Yeah, I think it was huge for the conference. I think the level that the conference has grown to now, I think, you know, it's getting there, and hopefully we all have some success this in the playoffs this next couple weeks. That's kind of been the big thing with our conference, right? Is okay, we beat each other up all year and stuff. And now, can we do it in the playoffs? So, hopefully, in these next few weeks, we find out.
What was the feeling of that game? Because you had a 21-point lead late in the third quarter. Then all of a sudden, a special teams play kind of turned things around. Stevens Point came back. Then it looked like you were going to lose the football game in the first overtime. A special teams play saved the night for you, and then ultimately able to get a stop and a touchdown. What was the experience like of that roller coaster, especially in the second half and overtimes?
Yeah, and that's how I've described it. It was a roller coaster ride, right? We first five possessions, offensively, we felt really good, moved the ball, scored on every possession. And then, went up 35-14 and gave up the kick return. It's one of those where, you know, the kick was a dribbler and guys get out of their lanes when those things happen. And their returner did a great job scoring. And then it's just at that moment, it's, okay, how do we stop the momentum? How do we slow them down? And, I think we went three and out. Or no, we got one first down, but had a quick drive and had a punt and had a great punt, but then they were two big plays and down and scored. And then it was like, okay, like, can we rally? And we threw an interception there, which was an unbelievable play by, I know, Anadeus. heck of a job by him.
Believe me, I did not enjoy that name.
but a heck of a kid, great athlete all night. And so, it kind of showed us like, hey, all right, now can we battle back? And it, you know, we talk about it all year. It's a game of runs, it's momentum, and then how do you respond? And that's what's awesome about high school football is we found out right away, how can we respond to this? And even to go on a 2-minute drive and have an opportunity to kick a game-winning field goal there at the end was huge. And, you know, I told him I take the blame for that, putting that thing on the left hash. I think if it's in the middle of the field, that thing goes right through. But, again, another great play by that kid.
And one more thing, right? Like, as a head coach, when you're going through the ups and downs like that, and like managing the clock, where do we want the kick to come from? Did we do enough time on special teams this week? You watch some of the college games last week, the Oregon and Ohio State game with this. Well, whether he did or not, we'll see that sneaking the guy in late and claiming it was strategy. Just all those things that just kind of go into a game, especially when the kids are excited, your coaching staff's excited, the crowd's going crazy. One of the things I was most looking forward to in this game was that you guys definitely in the conference have the most, you guys in Spash have the most offensive weapons, and they haven't let us down from week to week. Both two great quarterbacks, good running backs. Spash is kind of running back has been coming on in the last few weeks. And then so to see the stat lines after this and know what an offensive battle it was. But then what you talk about momentum and ups and downs. How does the defense react and prepare going into a game like that and kind of feeling really good about what they were? And then all of a sudden Spash is right back in. And how hard was it for the defense Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, and it's why I – never been good at being on that side of the ball because it's so reactive and so, but I mean, we've talked about it all year with our defense of like, hey, can we eliminate the big plays? And when we do that, when we make teams have to go on drives, that's when we've had some success. We're very fortunate with the guys that we have on offense. So the philosophy's kind of shifted a little bit of like, hey, we don't have to be perfect on defense. We just have to, you know, be sound and be over the top. And, you know, against a great offense like Spash had, you know, they'll make you pay for any little mistakes. And Grant did a great job. He hit a few different posts that got us. But I think, again, it was the resiliency and being able to respond. Even in the overtime when they one play hit the fade to score and our guys didn't blink. Like, it wasn't like, oh, man, we're done. Like, this game's over. They were ready to go on the extra point, like, lined up, ready to rock, and then got after it. And, like, hey, our backs were against the wall, and we showed, like, hey, we're ready to play, and we deserve this thing.
Again, we're talking to Braden Mitchell, the head football coach at DC Everest here on the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. Well, we talked about last Friday. Let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning maybe of the process for this year, because last spring you came in here and talked to me back, I don't even know what month it was. It was right after you got hired as the head football coach at Everest. Between then and today, between the time you talked to me then and the time you're talking to me right now, how much has gone as maybe you thought it would go, and how much has been unexpected?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to expect to be, you know, sitting 5-0 in conference and having at least a share like that. That wasn't what the expectation was, I guess, in my mind. I expected us to be good. I expected us to be tough. And I expected us to do great things with the leadership that we had and the senior group that we have. But for it all to kind of go this way, yeah, I don't know if I would say that's exactly what I expected. Offensively, we knew we had a lot of guys back. So I was expecting our offense to be good. And I think throughout each week, we've gotten better and better. The biggest thing we keep talking about is eliminating the mistakes. And I think that, you know, that was a big thing on Friday night. But yeah, I think ultimately the work that they put in from the moment that I got the job all summer into the, you know, early preseason and all of that stuff, I think has shown up throughout all of these late games.
We'll have more coming up with the head football coach at DC Everest, Braden Mitchell, here on 98.9 WXCO.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip. If you want me, you can find me left.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tonight we had a chance to talk to the head football coach at DC Everest, Braden Mitchell, on the Big High School Sports Show, myself and Jason Foster. And here's more of that conversation.
It's kind of piggybacking off of that Chad's first question and a little bit where that one went as well. So when you got the job, so it was nice that you were on staff. So you had a year of understanding what DC Everest is, the facilities, the little things, the ins and outs. But coming, being essentially new in a program that has such rich tradition and so many people on the coaching staff either are or ones who left have been part of that tradition. What was the transition like? Like the balancing act between understanding that DC Everest has this long existing tradition and there's a lot of expectations, but also making it Coach Mitchell's program and kind of putting your spin from your experience, because you've been a head coach prior to this as well. So what did you do to kind of ease that transition or make it work with the kids? Like in starting when you got the job?
Yeah, I think it was a little more unique. I mean, we had legendary Stephen Hagen, right? Yep. Coach Stephen Hagen was great, and the last two coaches kind of came from him, and so it was a lot of similarity, and they each had their own spin on things. But I think that was what allowed me, is I didn't ever get to know Coach Stephen Hagen. I've heard plenty of stories, a lot of great things from him, but it allowed me to kind of be able to, hey, this is how I want to run things, this is how I want to do things. And we have a lot of guys on staff that either played for him or coached with him, and were there during the glory days and during a lot of success. So we were able to kind of morph that together and take, hey, these are things that I've done that I really like and I want to implement here. These are gaps that I've had, right? I was a young head coach. I was head coach at 27. And so I didn't know it all. And I found out real quick that I didn't. And so there was a lot of gaps that I needed to fill in. And that's where our staff has been amazing. Each guy stepping up, you know, from coordinators to O-line coaches. I mean, we lead the state in O-line coaches, and I think it's been huge for us to be able to have those guys, because you can't ever get enough of them, and they're willing to do all the extra jobs and all the extra things that you need. So they've definitely helped fill in and just been, okay, how has DC Everest done this, and has it been good, or do we need to change that? And that's been huge for us.
And I think from an outside view, look at it, and I played against Coach Stephen Hagen, so very familiar with the Valley and all that stuff, and you being kind of new to it, understanding the tradition, I've always thought, too, from an outsider looking in, that the kids are kind of in the same boat. Like, they play for DC Everest, and they see all the names and all the tradition and the state championships, but none of those kids have known him at this point. So they're kind of, so I think it's probably was a good mesh for them, too, to kind of be able to say, yeah, we play for DC Everest, but we play for Coach Mitchell, and this is how DC Everest football is in 2024.
Yeah, I definitely think that's helped, and I think, you know, I'm very lucky with this senior group, but I think it was good for this group to be able to, like, hey, these are the traditions we want to set. This is how we want to do this thing, and to allow them to kind of run with some stuff, and the leadership council of 10 guys that we have to kind of set some things. Hey, how do you want to run this? How do you want practices to look? Like, what things do you guys want to do? Because, they get to kind of set what the tradition looks like going forward. And yeah, I think that's definitely been helpful.
Again, we're talking to DC Everest football coach Braden Mitchell here on WXCO. One of the things that really has jumped out this year, it's really somebody who enjoys watching solid offensive football more than maybe you do, but but the thing that when you've been able to do it in different ways, you go back to that River Falls game. I thought that was sort of I had not seen an Everest team that just decided we're going to pound that football right down your throat in quite a long time. And it was surprising because I knew coming into this season, you got a kid like Logan George, who's such a good quarterback. You had Xavier Edwards, who's such a good wide receiver. I mean, Cohen Preby's a great athlete himself. And then you have a game where Logan gets 300-plus yards passing. Darnier brings you all the way back against Chippewa Falls. I mean, can you talk a little bit about what your offense is? I mean, as a play caller, because you obviously have the flexibility to say, hey, this is really working. We can pound this football. But at the same time, if you see it working up top, you're able to do that as well. Could you talk a little bit about your offensive philosophy? I know we talked about it last spring, about where you came from, and I think how that's built on. But maybe just a little bit about generally the way you look at offensive football.
Yeah, I mean, I love that we can be multiple, and we're lucky to have the guys that we have that allow us to be multiple. We get in, 10 personnel where we're one tight end or one running back, and our tight end's flexed out, and we look like we're in four receivers. We can get into a 12 set and be two tight ends and one running back. We can get into a heavy set and be two tight ends and two running backs. And we can kind of play around with it all. And so really when I look in game planning, part of it's based off of what the defense has done in the previous games and how they align to the different formations. And everybody runs – similar type stuff and how we can kind of match up. And then I just look at, okay, are they going to try to take away the run? And usually going into a game, we expect, hey, they're going to be aware of where Blake is. Where's Bankston? They're going to be aware of him. And then sometimes we get in games and they're not. Like, sometimes it's like last week it felt like, okay, they're going to be more worried about our receivers and stop our big plays, which I definitely get because we can be explosive. But then that just opens it up and, Blake can go for 10-yard run. And then we get in games where, hey, they're going to take away five. They're going to load the box. And, Xavier and Cohen can take advantage of that. Cole O'Brien at tight end takes advantage of that when we get into our two tight end sets with Cademan Anderson. It really puts a lot of stress. And then they're such good athletes, Cademan and Cole, that we can still run our whole passing game out of a two tight end set. So I think it's very tough. That's why I don't envy being a defensive coordinator. There's so much that I think that we're lucky enough to do offensively. And especially, coming off of this last week, I text Coach McAdams. I said, I feel like I'm officially a Wisconsin head coach. I had a running back that took 50 touches. Like, I think I'm legit now. So, I think that, again, that's the kind of kids that we have. I think, I think that we do a good job offensively and taking advantage of what the defense gives us. But when you have kids like we have, it makes it a lot easier.
So you've been in the conference for a few years now, so you have a decent understanding of the Wisconsin Valley Conference. What have your thoughts been this year of the new conference and then with the crossover games for non-conference and then the one conference crossover game? How do you compare the two? Where do you think the Valley sits versus the big rivers?
Well, those first 2 weeks, it was tough for the Valley, I think. Yeah. We kind of went into it and we knew Rice Lake was going to be good. But it crossed the board, I think, was it only one win in the first week? It shows the Big Rivers is really good. New Richmond and Rice Lake, what they're doing and, being D2, and being able to do what they're doing has been unreal. I think that it kind of put both of our conferences like, hey, this is going to be competitive. Like it's going to be tough. And, I think it's good. I think we found out a lot in that first game, where we are, things that we needed to work on. I think for me personally, it was a huge eye-opener from a program standpoint of just how clean and crisp Rice Lake was on everything. Yeah. And just kind of like, okay, there's a lot of stuff that I need to work on. And then, getting into River Falls where they're super talented. And I think we caught them on some things and got after them a little bit. But I think, both conferences, very competitive, very tough. Obviously, again, New Richmond and Rice Lake kind of being a step above it. But I think it's going to be fun for these next few years, as long as this realignment stays. where I think we're going to get some good competitive football, especially those two non-conference right off the bat. I think those games are going to be huge, and huge in setting up seeding and all those things that, it leads into. But I think the Valley, I think we're getting better. I think that there's a lot of things that are improving. I think we're finding out, you know, what it takes and how we can match up with different teams. So yeah, I think it's been going to be fun these next few years.
Yeah, I think it's going to make each other better. Playing the Hudsons and the Rice Lakes and the Menominees and the New Richmonds in those preseason, or those not preseason but non-conference games, and then it'll also be really interesting to see as we get into the playoffs now when you bring in a couple teams from the East, wherever, whether it's the FRCC teams or the Fox Valley teams. But I think hopefully over time us the Big Rivers and the Valley kind of beating up on each other or making each other compete better maybe helps us stack up better to the East, which is, I think, ultimately the goal in this part of the state.
What do you think about, like, where you may land in the postseason? Or do you just go day to day with practice?
In previous years, I tried to do the whole map out the state and plot the eights. And, like, this year, I don't know if I've had time to look into that. But I know that, you know, I've heard different things. It sounds like there's probably 10 to 12 teams that are kind of in that range, and so it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. You know, every time I've tried to do it, like, they twist it one way here or there, and it's like, okay, why did they do that? But I mean, looking at it, you know, I'm excited for Saturday. We've got a plan for have everybody together in the morning, have some breakfast, and then watch the show as a team. I think that'll be a cool experience for us and kind of a different deal. And I think then it's go time and prepare and you know, had to already warn my wife, and God bless her. Like, it's been crazy these last few months. You know, it's crazy being a head coach, but I at least get the joy and all that stuff from Friday nights. Like, for her, it's stressful on Friday nights too. So, God bless her.
I guess before we do wrap it up, I wanted to, you mentioned the leadership council, and we talked about some of the guys who are, you know, obviously outstanding on the field. Who are the leaders on this team? Who are the guys that you've kind of leaned on here in this first year as a head coach that have really maybe stepped up? Maybe you knew that was going to happen. Maybe you didn't know what was going to happen. But who are some of the guys that, you know, deserve that credit beyond the on-field activities, but in the locker room, on the practice field? Who are the kids that have really shown that top-notch leadership?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is that it is those guys, right? It's Logan George, it's Blake Bankston, it's Oscar Latondres, our great left tackle. It's Brendan Peterson, our middle backer, who, you know, they all do it on the field, but what's even better is that they do it off the field. And they're in the locker room, they're the last guys to leave. They're cleaning it up. We got Cademan Anderson and Cole O'Brien that do a great job. Just leading by example and always being in the right spot, doing the right things. Some great young juniors that are stepping into those leadership roles with Silas Weber and even Brad Rickert. He got injured early on. His back's in a bad place, but he's been a great leader and shows up every day. What can I do to help? How can I help? And then our two receivers, Cohen Preby and Xavier Edwards, they're on that as well. And they bring a little different vibe to things. They're classic receivers that are just fun to be around and do a great job, but know when to lock it in and show up on game time.
And one more question, actually, because we'd like to as well talk about the general state of the program. As you look, because obviously in charge, you look at the varsity, people look at the varsity every Friday night. Yeah. How is the numbers throughout the entire program, going down to the middle school level and everything else? Where does DC ever stand at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely got some work to do with our younger levels, 7th and 8th grade levels. We've got some good numbers there, and we did a little bit differently. We had, you know, split them up and had two teams at each of those levels, just again to kind of focus on getting kids playing, getting kids going and enjoying it and having fun. And then our freshmen and sophomores, we have some smaller classes there, so we are going to need some guys to step up and to fill in. We do have athletes there, like that's the nice thing about where we're at is we do have some guys. But yeah, it's going to be a depth thing, and I think I think a lot of schools are in that boat, right? Like, you lose one guy, and it's like, now I lose two or three, and so yeah, I mean, it's always going to be that, but it's great, and it provides great opportunities for other guys to step up and step into that role.
Anything else, Coach?
No, just congratulations on a great first year. Good luck Friday night or Thursday night for you guys, and can't wait to see how things go in the playoffs. Good luck.
Thank you.
Braden Mitchell, head football coach of DC Everest. And again, it's been quite a season for DCE. A chance to win outright the conference championship with a victory tonight over Eau Claire Memorial. Start of a very big weekend because you have the games tonight and tomorrow. And then Saturday morning, the brackets will be put out for the start of the playoffs next week. And it's always a very exciting time. So playoff brackets out there on Saturday morning. And, of course, we have our three games coming up tomorrow night. Wausau West against River Falls, 6:35 for the pregame. Live right here on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Marathon at Spencer Columbus on the Sports 2 stream of BowFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app starting at 6:40. And Newman Catholic is at Wild Rose tomorrow night on the Sports 3 stream of BowFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app starting at 6:40 as well. So, again, very busy Friday evening of high school sports right here on Wausau's only radio home for high school play-by-play, 98.9 WXCO. And, again, don't forget tonight, high school volleyball, the pink ribbon game between Wausau West and Wausau East. 7 o'clock, live right here on 98.9 WXCO. The time is 9:49. Coming up next, we will have our daily history lesson, including the number for the day quiz. So that's all coming up. 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, it is Thursday, October the 17th of 2024. It is day number 291 of this year. There are 75 days remaining in this year of 2024, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1933, physicist Albert Einstein arrived in the United States as a refugee from Nazi Germany. On this date in 1979, Mother Teresa of India was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her work on behalf of the destitute in Calcutta. On this date in 1989, an earthquake measuring 7.1 on the Richter scale struck Northern California, killing 67 people and causing $7 billion worth of damage. On this date in 2006, the U.S. population reached 300 million. Looking ahead, the 400 million mark is expected to be reached sometime in 2039. On this date in 2018, the revived The Conners debuted on ABC, starring Sarah Gilbert, Laurie Metcalf, and John Goodman, but without fired former star Roseanne Barr. And on this date in 2020, Chicago was declared the rattiest city in America for a sixth year in a row by pest control service Orkin. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Michael McKean was on Laverne and Shirley all those years ago. He played Lenny. He is also in This is Spinal Tap and many other movies as well. Michael McKean is 77 years old today. George Wendt played Norm on Cheers, is 76 years old today. Country star Alan Jackson turning 66. Grant Scholl of Murphy Brown is 63 years old today. Mike Judge, the creator and voices on King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead as well. Mike Judge turning 62 years old today. Ziggy Marley, son of Bob Marley, also leader of Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers, is 56 years old today. Eminem is 52 years old today. Felicity Jones of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and The Theory of Everything turns 41 today. Chris Lowell, How I Met Your Father, and Veronica Mars is 40 years old today as well. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Black Poetry Day. It is Conflict Resolution Day. It is Edge Day. It is Four Prunes Day. It is Get to Know Your Customer Day. It is International Credit Union Day. It is International Shakeout Day. It is Forgive an Ex Day. It is Wear Something Gaudy Day. It is International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. It is World Trauma Day. It is Mulligan Day. It is Pasta Day. It is Playing Card Collection Day. It is Spirit Day. It is Payback a Friend Day. So lots of reasons to acknowledge today.
Absolutely.
And now it is time for our number for the day. And our number for the day quiz. Do you recall what our topic was for today?
Candy corn.
Candy corn. Yep. So for folks who have the sweet tooth and enjoy the candy corn, this one is for you. Mm-hmm. All right. Our number for the day. The pounds of candy corn sold in the United States each year.
Pounds of candy corn.
So the number of pounds of candy corn that is sold in this country, the United States of America, each year.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 15 million pounds? Okay. Is the correct answer 25 million pounds? Is the correct answer 35 million pounds?
Okay. Pounds of candy corn sold in the United States each year. 15 million, 25 million, or 35 million. Well, candy corn is very popular. Huh? Every year, I think. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, so I got to make sure I concentrate on this one. I'm going to say... pounds of candy corn sold each year. I'm going to say 25 million. I'm going to go with B this time. 25 million is my final answer. I'm going with B.
All right. Pounds of candy corn sold in the United States each year is 25 million.
Yes.
So yes. 2 out of 4.
I moved from a D minus up to a C plus, but I can do better.
Well, tomorrow you go for the big W for the week. Get more nice. Right than wrong. So you know you passed, and now it's on to try to get a winning week. So congratulations.
Man, that's a lot of candy corn.
That is a lot of candy corn. But you thought about it a long time, and you got to the right answer. That's always what we like to see.
Nice.
Have a great rest of your Thursday.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody. And don't forget the What's Up Business show is going to be at Sam's Pizza this afternoon.
Very good. Yes, 4:30 to 5:30. They're going to record their show live at
I'll be checking
Sam's,
out myself as well.
Sam's Pizza in Schofield.
Oh, yes.
So
not the Wausau.
Yep, go to the Schofield location and see the Wausau Business Show broadcasting live, recording their show live at 4:30. And then join me tonight at 7 for high school volleyball, the Pink Ribbon Game, Wausau West and Wausau East live right here on 98.9 WXCO. We'll be back tomorrow, 8 till 10 a.m. Have a great rest of your Thursday here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.